If you learn life's lessons, you will do well. If not, life will just continue to push you around. People do two things. Some just let life push them around. Others get angry and push back. But they push back against their boss, or their job, or their husband or wife. They do not know it's life that's pushing. I had no idea what he was talking about. Life pushes all of us around. Some people give up and others fight. A few learn the lesson and move on. They welcome life pushing them around. To these few people, it means they need and want to learn something. They learn and move on. Most quit, and a few, like you, fight. Rich Dad stood and shut the creaky old wooden window that needed repair. If you learn this lesson, you will grow into a wise, wealthy, and happy young man. If you don't, you will spend your life blaming a job, low pay, or your boss for your problems. You'll live life always hoping for that big break that will solve all your money problems. Rich Dad looked over at me to see if I was still listening. His eyes met mine. We stared at each other, communicating through our eyes. Finally, I looked away once I had absorbed his message. I knew he was right. I was blaming him, and I did ask to learn. I was fighting. Rich Dad continued, "Or, if you are the kind of person who has no guts, you just give up every time life pushes you. If you are that kind of person, you'll live all your life playing it safe, doing the right things, saving yourself for some event that never happens. Then you die a boring old man. You'll have lots of friends who really like you because you were such a nice, hard-working guy. But the truth is that you let life push you into submission. Deep down, you were terrified of taking risks. You really wanted to win, but the fear of losing was greater than the excitement of winning. Deep inside, you and only you will know you didn't go for it. You chose to play it safe." Our eyes met again. "You've been pushing me around?" I asked. "Some people might say that," smiled Rich Dad. "I would say that I just gave you a taste of life." "What taste of life?" I asked, still angry, but now curious and ready to learn. "You boys are the first people that have ever asked me to teach them how to make money. I have more than 150 employees, and not one of them has asked me what I know about money. They ask me for a job and a paycheck, but never to teach them about money. So most will spend the best years of their lives working for money, not really understanding what it is they are working for." I sat there listening intently. "So when Mike told me you wanted to learn how to make money, I decided to design a course that mirrored real life. I could talk until I was blue in the face, but you wouldn't hear a thing. So I decided to let life push you around a bit so you could hear me. That's why I only paid you 10 cents. "So what is the lesson I learned from working for only 10 cents an hour?" I asked. "That you're cheap and exploit your workers?" Rich Dad rocked back and laughed heartily. Finally, he said, "You'd best change your point of view. Stop blaming me and thinking I'm the problem. If you think I'm the problem, then you have to change me. If you realize that you're the problem, then you can change yourself, learn something, and grow wiser. Most people want everyone else in the world to change but themselves. Let me tell you, it's easier to change yourself than everyone else." "I don't understand," I said. "Don't blame me for your problems," Rich Dad said, growing impatient. "But you only pay me 10 cents. "So what are you learning?" Rich Dad asked, smiling. "That you're cheap," I said with a sly grin. "See, you think I'm the problem," said Rich Dad. "But you are." "Well, keep that attitude and you'll learn nothing. Keep the attitude that I'm the problem, and what choices do you have?" "Well, if you don't pay me more or show me more respect and teach me, I'll quit." "Well put," Rich Dad said, "and that's exactly what most people do. They quit and go looking for another job, a better opportunity and higher pay, actually thinking that this will solve the problem. In most cases, it won't. So what should I do? I asked. Just take this measly 10 cents an hour and smile? Rich Dad smiled. That's what the other people do. But that's all they do, waiting for a raise, thinking that more money will solve their problems. Most just accept it, and some take a second job working harder, but again, accepting a small paycheck. I sat staring at the floor, beginning to understand the lesson Rich Dad was presenting. I could sense it was a taste of life. Finally, I looked up and asked, "So what will solve the problem?" "This," he said, leaning forward in his chair and tapping me gently on the head. "This stuff between your ears." It was at that moment that Rich Dad shared the pivotal point of view that separated him from his employees and my poor dad, and led him to eventually become one of the richest men in Hawaii, while my highly educated but poor dad struggled financially all his life. It was a singular point of view that made all the difference over a lifetime. Rich Dad said this point of view over and over, which I call lesson number one. The poor and the middle class work for money. The rich have money work for them. On that bright Saturday morning, I learned a completely different point of view from what I had been taught by my poor dad. At the age of 9, I understood that both dads wanted me to learn. Both dads encouraged me to study, but not the same things. My highly educated dad recommended that I do what he did. "Son, I want you to study hard, get good grades, so you can find a safe, secure job with a big company, and make sure it has excellent benefits." My rich dad wanted me to learn how money works so I could make it work for me. These lessons I would learn through life with his guidance, not because of a classroom. My rich dad continued my first lesson. "I'm glad you got angry about working for 10 cents an hour. If you hadn't got angry and had simply accepted it, I would have to tell you that I could not teach you. You see, true learning takes energy, passion, and a burning desire. Anger is a big part of that formula, for passion is anger and love combined. When it comes to money, most people want to play it safe and feel secure, so passion does not direct them. Fear does. So is that why they'll take jobs with low pay?" I asked. "Yes," said Rich Dad. "Some people say I exploit people because I don't pay as much as the sugar plantation or the government. I say the people exploit themselves. It's their fear, not mine." "But don't you feel you should pay them more?" I asked. "I don't have to. And besides, more money will not solve their problems. Just look at your dad. He makes a lot of money, and he still can't pay his bills. Most people, given more money, only get into more debt." "So that's why the 10 cents an hour," I said, smiling. "It's part of the lesson." "That's right," smiled Rich Dad. "You see, your dad went to school and got an excellent education so he could get a high-paying job. But he still has money problems because he never learned anything about money in school. On top of that, he believes in working for money." "And you don't?" I asked. "No, not really," said Rich Dad. "If you want to learn to work for money, then stay in school. That is a great place to learn to do that. But if you want to learn how to have money work for you, then I will teach you that. But only if you want to learn." "Wouldn't everyone want to learn that?" I asked. "No," said Rich Dad, "simply because it's easier to learn to work for money, especially if fear is your primary emotion when the subject of money is discussed." "I don't understand," I said with a frown. "Don't worry about that for now. Just know that it's fear that keeps most people working at a job. The fear of not paying their bills, the fear of being fired, the fear of not having enough money, and the fear of starting over. That's the price of studying to learn a profession or trade and then working for money. Most people become a slave to money and then get angry at their boss. Learning to have money work for you is a completely different course of study? I asked. Absolutely, Rich Dad answered. Absolutely. We sat in the silence on that beautiful Hawaiian Saturday morning. My friends had just started their Little League baseball game, but for some reason I was now thankful I had decided to work for 10 cents an hour. I sensed that I was about to learn something my friends wouldn't learn in school. "Ready to learn?" asked Rich Dad. "Absolutely," I said with a grin. "I have kept my promise. I've been teaching you from afar," my Rich Dad said. "At 9 years old, you've gotten a taste of what it feels like to work for money. Just multiply your last month by 50 years, and you will have an idea of what most people spend their life doing." "I don't understand," I said. "How did you feel waiting in line to see me, once to get hired and once to ask for more money?" "Terrible," I said. "If you choose to work for money, that is what life will be like," said Rich Dad. "And how did you feel when Mrs. Martin dropped 3 dimes in your hand for 3 hours of work?" "I felt like it wasn't enough. It seemed like nothing. I was disappointed," I said. "And that is how most employees feel when they look at their paychecks, especially after all the tax and other deductions are taken out. At least you got 100%. "You mean most workers don't get paid everything?" I asked with amazement. "Heavens no," said Rich Dad. "The government always takes its share first." "How do they do that?" I asked. "Taxes," said Rich Dad. "You're taxed when you earn. You're taxed when you spend. You're taxed when you save. You're taxed when you die." "Why do people let the government do that to them?" "The rich don't," said Rich Dad with a smile. "The poor and the middle class do. I'll bet you that I earn more than your dad, yet he pays more in taxes." "How can that be?" I asked. At my age, that made no sense to me. Why would someone let the government do that to them? Rich Dad rocked slowly and silently in his chair, just looking at me. "Ready to learn?" he asked. I nodded my head slowly. "As I said, there is a lot to learn. Learning how to have money work for you is a lifetime study. Most people go to college for 4 years and their education ends. I already know that my study of money will continue over my lifetime, simply because the more I find out, the more I find out I need to know. Most people never study the subject. They go to work, get their paycheck, balance their checkbooks, and that's it. Then they wonder why they have money problems. They think that more money will solve the problem, and don't realize that it's their lack of financial education that is the problem." "So my dad has tax problems because he doesn't understand money?" I asked, confused. "Look," said Rich Dad, "taxes are just one small section on learning how to have money work for you. Today, I just wanted to find out if you still have the passion to learn about money. Most people don't. They want to go to school, learn a profession, have fun at their work, and earn lots of money. One day they wake up with big money problems, and then they can't stop working. That's the price of only knowing how to work for money instead of studying how to have money work for you." "So do you still have the passion to learn?" asked Rich Dad. I nodded my head. "Good," said Rich Dad. "Now get back to work. This time I will pay you nothing." "What?" I asked in amazement. "You heard me. Nothing. You will work the same 3 hours every Saturday, but this time you will not be paid 10 cents per hour. You said you wanted to learn to not work for money, so I'm not going to pay you anything." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I've already had this conversation with Mike, and he's already working, dusting and stacking canned goods for free. You better hurry and get back there. "That's not fair," I shouted. "You've got to pay something." "You said you wanted to learn. If you don't learn this now, you'll grow up to be like the two women and the older man sitting in my living room, working for money and hoping I don't fire them. Or, like your dad, earning lots of money only to be in debt up to his eyeballs, hoping more money will solve the problem. If that's what you want, I'll go back to our original deal of 10 cents an hour. Or you can do what most adults do. Complain that there is not enough pay, quit, and go looking for another job. But what do I do? I asked. Rich Dad tapped me on the head. Use this, he said. If you use it well, you will soon thank me for giving you an opportunity, and you will grow into a rich man. I stood there, still not believing what a raw deal I was handed. I came to ask for a raise, and somehow I was instead working for nothing. Rich Dad tapped me on the head again and said, "Use this. Now, get out of here and get back to work." Lesson number one. The rich don't work for money. I didn't tell my poor dad I wasn't being paid. He wouldn't have understood, and I didn't want to try to explain something I didn't understand myself. For 3 more weeks, Mike and I worked 3 hours every Saturday for nothing. The work didn't bother me, and the routine got easier. But it was the missed baseball games and not being able to afford to buy a few comic books that got to me. Rich Dad stopped by at noon on the 3rd week. We heard his truck pull up in the parking lot and sputter when the engine was turned off. He entered the store and greeted Mrs. Martin with a hug. After finding out how things were going in the store, he reached into the ice cream freezer, pulled out 2 bars, paid for them, and signaled to Mike and me. "Let's go for a walk, boys." We crossed the street, dodging a few cars, and walked across a large grassy field where a few adults were playing softball. Sitting down at a lone picnic table, he handed Mike and me the treats. "How's it going, boys?" "Okay," Mike said. I nodded in agreement. "Learn anything yet?" Rich Dad asked. Mike and I looked at each other, shrugged our shoulders, and shook our heads in unison. Avoiding one of life's biggest traps. Well, you boys had better start thinking. You're staring at one of life's biggest lessons. If you learn it, you'll enjoy a life of great freedom and security. If you don't, you'll wind up like Mrs. Martin and most of the people playing softball in this park. They work very hard, for little money, clinging to the illusion of job security and looking forward to a 3-week vacation each year and maybe a skimpy pension after 45 years of service. If that excites you, I'll give you a raise to 25 cents an hour. "But these are good, hard-working people. Are you making fun of them?" I demanded. A smile came over Rich Dad's face. "Mrs. Martin is like a mother to me. I would never be that cruel. I may sound unkind because I'm doing my best to point something out to the two of you. I want to expand your point of view so you can see something most people never have the benefit of seeing because their vision is too narrow. Most people never see the trap they are in." Mike and I sat there, uncertain of his message. He sounded cruel, yet we could sense he was trying to drive home a point. With a smile, Rich Dad said, "Doesn't that 25 cents an hour sound good? Doesn't it make your heart beat a little faster?" I shook my head no, but it really did. 25 cents an hour would be big bucks to me. "Okay, I'll pay you $1 an hour, Rich Dad said, with a sly grin. Now my heart started to race. My brain was screaming, "Take it, take it." I could not believe what I was hearing. Still, I said nothing. "Okay, $2 an hour. My little brain and heart nearly exploded. After all, it was 1956, and being paid $2 an hour would have made me the richest kid in the world. I couldn't imagine earning that kind of money. I wanted to say yes. I wanted the deal. I could picture a new bicycle, new baseball glove, and the adoration of my friends when I flashed some cash. On top of that, Jimmy and his rich friends could never call me poor again. But somehow, my mouth stayed shut. The ice cream had melted and was running down my hand. Rich Dad was looking at two boys staring back at him, eyes wide open and brains empty. He was testing us, and he knew there was a part of our emotions that wanted to take the deal. He understood that every person has a weak and needy part of their soul that can be bought, and he knew that every individual also had a part of their soul that was resilient and could never be bought. It was only a question of which one was stronger. Okay, $5 an hour. Suddenly, I was silent. Something had changed. The offer was too big and ridiculous. Not many grown-ups in 1956 made more than that, but quickly my temptation disappeared and calm set in. Slowly, I turned to my left to look at Mike. He looked back at me. The part of my soul that was weak and needy was silenced. The part of me that had no price took over. I knew Mike had gotten to that point, too. "Good," said Rich Dad softly. "Most people have a price, and they have a price because of human emotions named fear and greed. First, the fear of being without money motivates us to work hard, and then, once we get that paycheck, greed or desire starts us thinking about all the wonderful things money can buy. The pattern is then set." "What pattern?" I asked. "The pattern of get up, go to work, pay bills, get up, go to work, pay bills." People's lives are forever controlled by two emotions, fear and greed. Offer them more money, and they continue the cycle by increasing their spending. This is what I call the rat race. "There is another way?" Mike asked. "Yes," said Rich Dad slowly, "but only a few people find it." "And what is that way?" Mike asked. "That's what I hope you boys will learn as you work and study with me. That is why I took away all forms of pay." "Any hints?" Mike asked. "We are kind of tired of working hard, especially for nothing." "Well, the first step is telling the truth," said Rich Dad. "We haven't been lying," I said. "I did not say you were lying. I said to tell the truth," Rich Dad retorted. "The truth about what?" I asked. "How you're feeling," Rich Dad said. "You don't have to say it to anyone else. Just admit it to yourself." "You mean the people in this park, the people who work for you, Mrs. Martin, they don't do that?" I asked. "I doubt it," said Rich Dad. "Instead, they feel the fear of not having money. They don't confront it logically. They react emotionally instead of using their heads," Rich Dad said. "Then they get a few bucks in their hands, and again the emotions of joy, desire, and greed take over. And again they react instead of think." "So their emotions control their brain," Mike said. "That's correct," said Rich Dad. "Instead of admitting the truth about how they feel, they react to their feelings and fail to think. They feel the fear, so they go to work, hoping that money will soothe the fear, but it doesn't. It continues to haunt them, and they return to work, hoping again that money will calm their fears, and again it doesn't. Fear keeps them in this trap of working, earning money, hoping the fear will go away. But every day they get up, and that old fear wakes up with them. For millions of people, that old fear keeps them awake all night, causing a night of turmoil and worry. So they get up and go to work, hoping that a paycheck will kill that fear gnawing at their souls. Money is running their lives, and they refuse to tell the truth about that. Money is in control of their emotions and their souls. Rich Dad sat quietly, letting his words sink in. Mike and I had heard what he said, but didn't understand fully what he was talking about. I just knew that I often wondered why grown-ups hurried off to work. It did not seem like much fun, and they never looked that happy, but something kept them going. Realizing we had absorbed as much as possible of what he was talking about, Rich Dad said, "I want you boys to avoid that trap.